Don't Sleep on Entrepreneurship, episode number 10. Okay, y'all, it's day 10. And this winds up the conclusion. It's the end, but it's really not the end of the Educating Her series. What did you think? I'm so happy to have spent the last 2 weeks with everyone and really keeping it 100. I hope hearing about these life skills, aha moments, and advice has really helped you get the jumpstart in college that you needed. If you're joining for the first time, you got some binge listening to do. Even if it's one thing or one person that I've touched, mission accomplished. So it's important to know that it's mostly us. Again, the sad truth is African-American females rep 60% of college student campuses. If you remember in episode 2, the 10 ways to beat the fear of failing your freshman year, Dr. Kevin Hilton points out it's mostly female freshmen, or just females period, in its classes. But we did it, peeps. We've covered the most asked questions college students have, and you've heard real-life personal experiences directly from HBCU alum, upperclassmen, and even some subject matter experts. My focus for this series is for you to hear the truth, nothing but the truth. Even in some cases, it was totally embarrassing. In other cases, it was super cray-cray about college life. By now, you're already in your books. Maybe some of you are studying. Maybe some of you are not. But I've given you the resources to level up your game in college and beyond. In today's episode, you're going to hear more about being an entrepreneur. And this is something you can't sleep on. In 2016, it goes without saying.
The idea here is just to not have your intellect being stifled or your efforts being stifled. And a key thing that I always tell people who are doing this, if someone has enough confidence in you to hire you to make money for them, you can do that for yourself as well. You just have to get past that initial fear of what if it doesn't work. If it doesn't work, you can try something else. And if none of it works and you're pressed for a job, you can always find another job. But it just sitting around not doing anything because of fear that it won't work is not the way to go.
Before we dive into today's topic, here's a word from our sponsor, Target. If you shop at Target, you need to check out my discounted Target shopping link in the show notes. So if you look on your phone and you're looking right at the podcast, you look for the episode full description and you're going to find the link under the Target heading. Right there. Yep, you got it. Take it away.
We were learning about how talented the ancient Greeks were, and suddenly, I traveled back in time. I thought I could have been a writer. Or an athlete. I could have even been an architect. Then I realized, I don't have to go back in time to do amazing things. I can start today. Yes, I can.
Furthermore, you can't escape from it. Honestly, you would be a fool not to consider incorporating an entrepreneurship track as your minor or just as an elective. It will give you a baseline foundation of what you need to start, and it's all about exposure. I want to share the mistake that I made in college, and I was a business major.
I remember thinking to myself, like, I don't want to have my own business. Like, I made that decision. Even though I'm a business major, I made that decision, which was so naive. But I think too is I didn't have any exposure to being an entrepreneur in my family. And the part, like, my father was an entrepreneur, but he did share his experiences to help me as I was older, but I didn't grow up thinking that's what I'm going to do.
So there's 5 things you're going to hear in this episode. Number 1, hear how we figured it out. Number 2, the importance of communications. Number 3, there's no glamour. It's all hustle. Number 4, you don't want to be living on the plantation. Number 5, real life tips around corporate versus entrepreneurship. Unless you grew up in a family business or had your own version of a lemonade stand, most of us didn't have that exposure at an early age.
I had no idea I was going to be an entrepreneur.
Bernadine Lothery is a trained and educated mechanical engineer turned business strategist in the field of construction. Bernadine is the founder of Revelocity and launched her own consulting firm in 2009.
You go to school, you get a job, you stay there at a job, and you retire from that job. And then I hated my job so much that I quit. And I thought I was going to get another job when I moved here, but I had not had a job since I've been here, and I've been here for 7 years. So none of my family members are entrepreneurs. No people, like no one that I interacted with on a day-to-day basis was entrepreneur. So I sort of had to figure it out, but I used the same skills that I learned in engineering as far as, you know, getting a mentorship and building relationships in corporate America that kind of transitioned. And I think the only class that I took, and it was an extra, it was like, you know, you have to have so many extra credit, not extra credit class, but like other classes engineering school with communication. And that has been the best thing for me as far as, because you have to read people and you got to kind of figure out like, how can you build a relationship with somebody who you don't know from at all? Because at the end of the day, you want to do business with them. So I wish I would have took some classes, because the one thing I tell people, I wish they could teach a class of Hustle 101, because that's what it is. It's just a hustle every day.
Not in high school, because some of these kids are so lazy.
The entrepreneurship circle of friends changes. It changes dialogue. It changes how we click with each other, understand. It changes conversations. It's important to seek like-minded people when you're an entrepreneur, just to keep your sanity. It's the DNA that we get between each other.
My circle has really changed. My circle has changed. My friends have changed. People that I was close to when I was living check to check and I was clocking in and out, we don't hang out as much. You know, I don't hang out with the people that I hung out with before I became a business owner. And again, they put it on a pedestal and it's so glamorous to them. But I work around the clock because I work out of my house a lot too. But my circle has changed and the people that I hang around with has changed. And I don't think it's by on purpose. I just think it's by nature. You tend to gravitate too around people that are in the same boat as you. Or, you know, some of your friends feel like you've made it now, so they don't want to be friends with you anymore because they feel like you're doing better than them or whatever. You know, my struggle is different from yours. You may see it as a glamour, but my struggle is different, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you can take a day off and no one will call you. When I take a day off, my phone still rings and I still have to answer it. Right. So at the end of the day, you know, it's glamorized by people who don't understand the entrepreneurial aspect of balancing your actual life, and you lose friends because of it, or people judge you. Oh, she thinks she all that now or whatever, or, you know, it's just, I sense a different attitude from some of my longtime friends when I have stepped out as a business owner.
Fakeness and non-communication skills of her colleagues is one of the reasons that drove her to entrepreneurship.
The thing now, people are so, this is like a text type of world where when you try to talk to people like one-on-one, it's hard to talk to them because they're so introverted. Like, they're so used to hiding behind their computer or their, you know, texting. They do not know how to interact with each other. It's like, it's very odd. Like, you go into
a room. That's how corporate America is, too.
Yeah. You go into a room with someone, and it's like, it's hard to, like, get to open people up to just to say hi or to have a conversation. And I think they're not interested in that size and that enough. It's like, yeah, it's great to have be in all of these groups, but when you put them in a group to just do a project, they don't interact outside that project. So you need to learn how to interact with people, or nobody really is going to want to even hire you in a business, let alone being an entrepreneur. It's like they want to know if you guys are compatible to do business together.
I think you're so right. Like, in my field, It's like, you know, people like to say things that they can't say via email or text. You have all these balls to be direct in this forward person via email and text. But when I see you in the hallway passing, because my office is right past yours, you can't even look me in the eye. That's what I hated about corporate America. That's part of the reason why I became an entrepreneur, because I couldn't stand the fakeness and the non-communication skills of people. You know, if I have to tell you that you did not get this house, I'm gonna call you and explain why you didn't get it. Or I'm gonna set up a meeting with you and have you come into my office and explain what the new plan of action is.
Ariel Peggy's is a real estate broker who has been working for herself now for 10 years.
You could never go wrong with networking with people. Meeting people from all different walks of life, and it'll introduce you into some different avenues and have different choices. I mean, you know, don't be afraid to talk to the person who's an art major or connect with that person. You just never know what that might lead to. Don't be afraid to talk to the person who's into sports management. I'm just thinking about all my friends that I've actually like kept in touch with all the years after college. Like, we've done business together. They've come to me to buy a house. You know, I've been to their wedding. You know, I've been to their baby shower, different things like that. You know, they've gotten somebody a job. You know, you just never know what your relationship with that individual, where you might not have anything in common, but you learn something from, or you gain, you know, you learn something from them, or gain something from them, or they gain something from you. You never know who you might be able to help or who might be able to help you. Mm-hmm. So that, I'd say, network as much as possible in a way that's comfortable for you. You might not be the talky person like me, because I say hi to everybody. But, you know, there's other ways, you know, you can network without being talky.
The importance of public speaking. So the panel recommended students get FaceTime practicing their communication skills. Let them explain how.
The student ambassador is kind of what I was thinking, like, take like a public speaking class, because I think you should always be comfortable no matter who's in the room. Because I think that sometimes when we walk in a room, you might not know anyone, but you need to get next to a certain person. And I think public speaking helps you, it helps you relax as far as once you get into the room. Because the more you do it, the better you are as far as being able to interact with people you don't know. I also think that something I would suggest, I didn't do it, was something that I regret, is doing like either a 2-week or a semester abroad. Because I think it's nothing like going where you don't know anyone, don't know the language, and trying to maneuver yourself around. And it kind of helps you in the entrepreneur, because that's what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. You're just trying to feel your way, you know, to make it. Like, you know, just to get that next client, get that next contract. It gets you uncomfortable with being uncomfortable.
Right. I agree with that so much. Oh my gosh, that is a good point. Study abroad.
I think that's the main thing about entrepreneurship. You have to be uncomfortable being uncomfortable, because you're gonna hit a groove, but then you might have to change your whole focus or trajectory because it's not working anymore. And I think if you learn it early, then it gets easier after a while.
Dr. Hilton lists some easy resources. The setup is easy, but generating revenue and maintaining the business is the hustle. In fact, it is the bulk of your hustle.
I don't think that there's any other time in history that is perfect for someone to become an entrepreneur. Because there's nothing mystical or magical about it. The only thing now that would prevent the person from doing it is probably more so fear. Simply because there isn't a shortage of information. So the era in which we live now, there are tons of published book. There are tons of ebooks online that you can buy at Amazon for peanuts if you just type in entrepreneur, micro business, or anything. And there's a video on YouTube for everything. There's a magazine for everything. So Entrepreneur Magazine or Inc. Magazine, Forbes,
Fast Company,
and the list goes on. So there's probably more information today about how to become an entrepreneur and how to start a business. In fact, that's the easy part, right? Because you can, for what it takes to launch a business, if you say, well, I need a business name, a website, a tax ID, then I'm in business literally in a couple of days. The more challenging part is generating revenue and maintaining the business. And that's where I think most people have challenges. But I think if, you know, for a person who's in college, who's getting out, that says, I don't want to work for someone, or as I like to say, I don't want to be on the plantation or in a factory with little to no responsibility, you have all kinds of resources that are available to say, hey, let's get started. And I think there are a wide variety of options. You know, do you want a micro business? Do you want to sell widgets or products? Do you want to sell things virtually online? Are you selling your services globally? Do you want to sell pictures? The list is just literally, literally endless.
Hey, hey, Girly Nation. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl Camp. This is where Nina teaches you how to keep it 100 all day and every day. Just give me 1 hour and I will give you 10 ways to level up your freshman college game. You know, we are taught to learn, you know, you negotiate what you deserve. But Nina's going to teach you, you deserve what you negotiate. So I'm doing a free webinar on September 23rd. And this is where I want you to sign up. bit.ly. Then it's a /. Capital K, capital I, and then all in lowercase, bootcamp. I'll see you soon. You know we're gonna keep it real, keep it true. Peace. My story. In my case, entrepreneurship fell literally on my lap. And not just once, twice. It's just, I only took action the second time. I almost felt like it was the universe talking to me. But I was all about the fairy tale Fortune 500 fallacy, you know, this is where you get bamboozled, right? And it gets old quick. You know, I was caught up with those organizations, especially that boasted their rankings for diversity. Like, we are the top, whatever, we fall in the top 20 or 100, you know, mostly diverse Fortune 500 company. Yeah, whatever. The irony is, and what you're going to realize is that, you know, they're filling a quota, number one. And it just means that you are just nth of the population of their workforce. And when you look around, and it all really depends on, let's say, your geographic location, what city you live in, maybe what area of your specialty is. You're not going to see a lot of us in the financial markets, investment banks. You're not going to see a lot of senior positions within the government either, right? But my point is this, especially when you become a seasoned professional, you're going to look around and you're going to notice there's less and less of you. So here's how you kill two birds with one stone. Tip number one, this is where you're going to chart your own course. If you opt to go the Fortune 500 route, that's perfectly fine. I'm going to tell you how to do it right now. Take all the training available internally. And I'm talking ranging from tuition for additional college courses. If you decide to pursue your graduate studies, you're going to take courses internally. You're going to get certified internally. You're going to do whatever training that is on the docket for your job. You're going to set yourself up with being an entrepreneur at some point in your life, but at their expense. That's the whole difference. You're going to be using their money and resources to get her done. And this way you're going to get specialized as a subject matter expert in your field. And you got to figure out how to make yourself valuable as an expert.
That was a very daunting reality for me that, you know, this is not a fairy tale career that I had imagined. And I rather follow my own passion.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And that's what I was alluding to. You know, you get there, you get an American Express corporate card, and you hear you have all these fringe benefits, and you're saying, wow, this is super great, until you're there for a little bit, then you kind of realize, wait a minute, I feel bamboozled, hoodwinked, run amok, because a lot of this isn't adding up. And I'm not so sure one will say, well, there are lots of people who love their jobs, and there is some truth to that. But at the end of the day, I think if you were to ask the average person, you'll find that a lot of people are going to have the same issues, you know, be it, you know, I'm working for a boss that I don't like, or I'm in a setting that I'm not so sure values who I am. And you have to, again, keep in mind that at the end of the day, you're there to make money for someone else. And so it's a rare set of companies that will hire you. And so that will create a very humanistic experience for you to say you're going to thrive, and we're going to support that. We're going to allow you to just be free while, you know, you're helping us to do what we do. And so you really do have to be mindful of the various incentives. Again, you don't have to leave your and quit your job to start your venture right away. You can start out light, start out part-time. You know, maybe in the evenings is when you're selling your services or products, or on the weekends or whatever it is. The one advice someone gave me, which is still true, you'll never make enough money or get rich working for someone else. And so the extent to which you can sort of chart your own course, even if it's not about getting rich, but charting your own course where you have some autonomy and some control over your life and some sense as to whether or not the work that you're doing is, you know, of value to you personally, as well as to the people with whom you're serving. And that's kind of the one thing that you always have to keep in mind.
So my guests reiterate that there is a difference between corporate America and entrepreneurship. In fact, they validate it. So the first part of the conversation, I talk about my own journey. And then the second part of this conversation, we talk about knowing what part of the day you're most productive, whether you're an entrepreneur, and for you students out there, paying close attention to when you're most alert and aligning your classes along that body schedule of yours.
It kind of fell in my lap, the entrepreneur stuff, because I remember being offered a position and not knowing, like, an opportunity to contract at a young age and not knowing what to do. Like, and it was good money, like, when I think back of what they were offering me, that. But I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have anyone to ask. I didn't have any guidance. And then even when someone had approached me to say, oh, we should, you know, start a business. And I was, my question to them is, okay, how do we start? Like, what do I need to Google? And nobody could give me that answer, at least in our community. And maybe it's just because I realized my friends, like, I could count them on my hand who do this. And at least at that time, nobody had that information. So
it's so much easier to be successful these days, though, now that you say that, because back when I was in college, yeah, Google was up and running, but we didn't have smartphones. You know, I'm talking, you know, I'm probably a little bit younger than you guys, but I graduated in 2005 from college undergrad. So it was, you know, it wasn't, they have a lot more tools now for these kids to be successful. And so a lot of the stuff that I'm giving you might be outdated, but it's right now it's helping me with my business. So I know it will help you as a student, you know, but then there's, you know, those intangibles, like you said, that aren't something that you can download as an app, which is your times a day that you're productive. Cause maybe you're not a morning person. So why would you book yourself for an 8 o'clock class? Make all your classes start at noon. That way you have time to wake up and gather yourself. Those are things that nobody tells you. And you're like, oh, this is a requirement. Check. I'm taking this class. Oops. It starts at 8 a.m. Then you end up missing half of the class for the whole semester because you never made it on time. And now you have to withdraw and start over, and you have to take it off your schedule and retake it. You know, so those are helpful things that there's no app for, you know. Find out what's your best time of day and schedule your classes around that.
Making the transition from the plantation to the entrepreneurship.
I broke away maybe close to 10 years ago, right? Just like everyone else. You know, you go to college and this is what you're supposed to aspire to do. And, you know, got my second real job, if you would, and was loving it, corporate credit cards and, you know, a nice little corner office. And you're going, aha, this is the life. And then you realize first and foremost that just the grind of sitting in traffic, showing up to an office, being supervised by people whom I think I knew more than, or who weren't always nice. You literally got to a place where you say, why am I doing this? Right? And just feeling miserable going to work every day and exploring other jobs and realizing that it's pretty much one of the same. You show up, it's a 9-to-5, you like what you're doing initially, and then you're dealing with the people dynamics. And so before I had completely left, I had two ideas that I was working with. One came out of doing work at the company. So as I was going out in the field collecting data, I kept on hearing the same stories from the folks who I was collecting data. We don't have this, we don't have that. And at the time it turned out to be health education materials specifically for African Americans. And then I said, I might be onto something here in terms of creating products specifically for African Americans who are at risk for certain health conditions. At the same time, I was doing something in real estate. And I realized that for real estate, there was a quick way at that time to make a lot of money in a short period of time by flipping houses. And while at the time, you know, you watch a lot of this on TV, it seemed daunting and scary, but you realize then it was relatively easy to get a loan if your credit was good, and you can buy something that wasn't so great, have a contractor to fix it up, flip it, and in the space of a year, you could make a $20,000 or $30,000, or even upwards of $100,000 just flipping. And I remember this so clearly. I was on vacation, and it was right around Thanksgiving, and I went away and I was getting grief from my boss and everyone at the company. How can I leave at a time like this? And I'm saying, this is the holiday. This is Thanksgiving. You're asking me to cut my break short. And that's when I realized that this is truly a plantation. And I literally came back. I wrote my letter of resignation on vacation and just came back and handed it in. And what was profound about it was we were scheduled to get these annual bonuses, but I wanted to have this feel that I can't be bought, right? And so I'm not going to sit around and wait around for whatever this bonus is just on principle, right? Because I needed to leave feeling as if no one would say he took the bonus and left. I needed to feel like, oh, wow, he left without the bonus. No one ever does that, right? And once I did that, no fear, the sky was the limit. It was all I saw was simply opportunities. And from there, it was one business after the other, after the other. Some failed, some succeeded, some are still in existence now. But there was just no looking back. I wish, in fact, I'd started much early as an undergrad, even if it meant selling lemonade or widgets, so that way I got used to doing it.
Tip number two, no excuses. It takes one day. I would tell students, whether it's during the summer or after you graduate, or even while you're interviewing for a job, start a business as your side hustle. How to get started? Kevin explains the easy 1, 2, 3 steps that we only learned as adults. In fact, grown-ass adults.
Registering a company, all right? So the first step is you say, all right, maybe I want a good company name because I want my company to reflect my family heritage, or maybe I want the name of the company to reflect what it is I do. So maybe it's making pencils. So maybe you'll name the company I Make Pencils, right? I can use mine as an example, that the first company that I started was called Zor Inc. And Zor was really the initials of my daughter, all right? Zoe, Orinthia, Rudy. And I wanted this to be a legacy that I could leave for her. Different people have different ways of naming their company for whatever reason. So once you decide on your name, you'll then have to do a search locally where you live, at the state in which you live, to see if that name exists. You can go to the state's tax office to register it. You can decide the type of company that you want, whether or not you want it to be incorporated, an S corp or a C corp, and they'll give you all this information, or an LLC, a limited liability company, and they'll run a search to say, there's a company with this name already, or no one has that name, and then they'll give you all of the documents to register it. It costs less than $100 to register your company, and it's a relatively quick process. You can actually get it registered literally within the same day, all right? So once you do that, you can then say, okay, I need a tax ID. And a tax ID is so that way, instead of using your social security number to get paid, you're using the business tax ID so that way you can protect yourself in the event something happens with your company. The other part of why it's critical to register your company or register as a company as an individual, you want to make sure you're protected. So for example, if you're making pencils and someone's pencils snap and something happened, they're not suing you directly, but rather they're suing the company. And so you're protected. To get a tax ID, you can go to the IRS and you can literally get that instantly, and then they'll mail you a letter with your tax ID that you will then need to do a number of different things. First and foremost, to set up a bank account, because that's going to be required by the bank along with the registration or in reference to your company. The bank is going to need articles of incorporation and so forth. And then you'll need it for other things, like if you're going to be charging for your services using a credit card machine or any of those other things that exist, they're going to need that information. All right, so that's kind of the process, and you literally can get all of that done in a day.
Tip number three, I talked about this many times during the series. You will make mistakes, lots of them. But here's the difference with making mistakes and being an entrepreneur.
You have to be okay with failing, right? And you'll hear the statistics that X percentage of businesses fail, but you have to be okay with failing. I thought of businesses, I can think of a couple of businesses that I started that I just knew was going to work. And everything pointed to it working, the numbers worked, the data worked. And then things happen that you just could not anticipate. The economy goes south and people don't have money. Or this thing that I thought everyone would like, the data that I used wasn't accurate. Right? And so what I've learned from running businesses is that failure is actually good. It's your best friend. It allows you to understand your limitations. It allows you to learn, because each time something happens, you can say, what did I learn from that experience? And how do I carry that experience forward to not make the same mistake or to improve on some other thing that I'm doing? The second part of it is to try and surround yourself with like-minded people, right? Because it gets very lonely and isolating at times. And for people who have regular 9-to-5s, they might not understand what it is you're doing. And at times you'll have bouts of periodic depression because you're going, well, what am I doing here? And everyone's saying, you need to get a job. That's what you need to do. Right? And so the extent to which you can surround yourself with like-minded people, and related to that, find a mentor, someone with whom you can bounce and float ideas off, and someone who can share with you the extent to which the experiences you're having are normal or they're off and that sort of thing. All right? The third advice is that keep in mind that you're going to work harder than you've ever worked, even working for someone else. And so you're going to have to learn to take initiative. You're going to have to be okay with putting in. Yes, you're doing this strangely enough so you can be free and you have control over your time. But the reality of it is, I think I work harder, much harder than working for someone else. The difference is I can structure where I work, when I work, how much time I work, and so forth. But you're going to need to find a way to regulate your time. Fourth, I think the way businesses are now structured, in the good old days, it's I need a big corner office to set up shop to sell widgets or to have a team of people. Yes, if that's your thing, you can do that. But the reality of it, the internet now has made it possible for us to start businesses doing a wide range of things without even having to have a physical location, right? So you can think about all the ways in which you want your business to work. What do you value in terms of either serving people or making products, your time, and so forth and so forth? So I'll share with people that I value freedom, and I value being able to travel, and I value making a difference with my whatever it is that I'm selling, be it a service or a product? Is it contributing to the greater good of a group of people or an individual? And you have to find it. No one can tell you that. What is that thing that makes you get up in the morning and say, I love what I do? Or that thing that keeps you working all day long, even when you're exhausted? The thing that gets you up in the middle of the night from a dream? Oh, that's an idea. I need to capture that. And so those are the key things that I would kind of say around just things to keep in mind. And it's a mixture of both good and bad, because on the flip side of each of those things that are good, there are some things that are not so pleasant about them. But you just have to accept that this is just part of what it takes to start and run a business.
So I've given you all that I can. In fact, we have given you all that we can to get started on the right foot during your college year. The rest is completely up to you. This is an opportunity for you high school teachers and students, college professors, guidance counselors, parents, and HBCU college tours and faculty members to play this educating series for upcoming freshmen in short sessions. It's not a goodbye. If you would like a facilitated on-site session using the Educating Her series at your high school or college, I can definitely make myself available. I live in the Washington, D.C. metro area, but I can be reached at nina@ninababel.com. You can visit educatingher.com, visit ninababel.com, or follow me on social media using the handle @ninababel. And the last name is Babe with an L at the end. You know when you're in the gym and the instructor is counting down and then they spring on another 10 push-ups? Well, I'm springing on another 2 bonus episodes. So stay tuned for that. I'll probably drop them either next week or the week after, but you'll have to listen to get more instruction. So look, this is what I'm going to do, because, you know, I have so much more material, people, and behind the scenes stuff that I haven't even used. So I'm going to curate everything and package everything into a digital or hard book format. But I'll give you those details at a later date. But if you want more, you can visit bit.ly/HBCU series and click the button to send me an email. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. You've learned that entrepreneurship is a hustle, but if you enjoy it, it makes your life worthwhile following your own passion. The key is getting exposure, practice communicating, planning ahead like now when you're in college. Don't wait till you're an adult. In fact, a grown-ass adult. Don't get brainwashed by the societal norms and explore, take risks with starting your own business. And we gave you easy breezy starter tips for you to embark on. So new episodes on the Keep It 100 Go podcast, we drop every week. And in case you missed the whole Educating Her series, bad, bad girl. You can tune in to the Keep It 100 Go podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, as well as TuneIn Radio. You could also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, or the Keep It 100 Girl Facebook page, and you're going to use the handle Nina Babel or Girl Chat Community on Facebook. Tell me you are here and that you listened to an episode. Time for some drinks! Enjoy your Labor Day weekend! You know I keep it 100. I keep it real. I keep it true. Smith Jez.